I love these notes, and I'm finding them up here all the time. It says, Jesus, Christ has risen. Amen. I'd like to just tape that right up there. Amen. Did the kids have a verse this morning?
Yeah. We didn't learn to do it or
not. Yeah. Kids, y'all learn a memory verse this morning? Well, come on up. Come on, kids. Come on up. They need a little encouragement, y'all. Come on, kids. There you go. Good to have Alex with us this morning. Give me five, Alex. The greatest symbol of new life is found on an empty cross and an empty tomb, an empty life. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 28, 5 through 7, but the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." That's that verse. He is not here. He is risen. And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Imagination can be a wonderful thing. Especially when we're kids. We've got a video. It's on VHS. That's how old it is. When Tyler was really little and Marion had a trail of chocolate leading from his bedroom to the kitchen table. And along the way, he was finding some prizes. And somewhere he'd found a little hat. He put it on sideways. And he was stopping and eating the chocolate on the way instead of just picking it up. And he'd put some in his pocket and he'd eat a piece. And we've got the video. All of a sudden, he, with such innocent, childlike, faith, he looked and said, "Easter brought me this." He was just so excited. Easter had brought him all this. But from the imagination of kids, we have a little fairy that leaves money under a pillow for teeth. And we've got a little fat man with a bald, I was going to say bald fat man with a beard, but you often think it's me, with a red suit that brings gifts, and a little rabbit that brings eggs full of candy. But at the end of the day, it's all an empty celebration. See, we don't need an Easter bunny. We don't need an Easter bunny and eggs to excite the celebration. We don't need that to excite the imagination of the resurrection. Yeah. Is there anything wrong with giving a kid a egg with some candy in it? No. All right, we're banning all eggs. We're banning all chocolate. We're banning. But what's the real reason for the season?
Jesus.
Amen. That's the reason for the season, not the Ishtar, the origin of it. We're not going to get into that this morning, okay? But it stands alone. The resurrection stands alone. Doesn't need any help. Our celebration is found in the empty tomb. We've got a magnet on our refrigerator that just says, "Die empty."
Yeah.
Die empty. Well, that's what Jesus did. He died empty. Along the way, Papa Jay's took us a couple times up the Via Dolorosa. It's Latin for way of grief or way of sorrows, way of suffering, or simply the painful way. The way of sorrows and suffering. It's a street in the old city of Jerusalem. Thank you, darling. It's the path that Jesus walked to his crucifixion. It's about a third of a mile. It's about 2,000 feet long. It starts at the Antonio Fortress and goes west to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. We've traveled it a few times. Not many, as many times as Papa Jay traveled it, but what's the most exciting time to walk the Via Dolorosa? What was your most exciting one? The next one. Right? The next trip. Everybody say next year in Jerusalem.
Next year
in Jerusalem. Pat. Ask her to come and sing. She's got some scripture to read and to sing about the Via Dolorosa this morning.
I want to go back in history 740 years before Christ was born to the book of Isaiah, where he wrote a prophecy about this day and what would happen. So I'm reading from the chapter 53 of Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Out of his love for you.
did. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Three. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Make it tough on a preacher to talk after that. Three empty promises that we can celebrate this Christmas, this season, this Easter. Fix my pant. What's wrong with that thing? Well, thank you. Three empty promises we can celebrate this Easter season, this resurrection morning. Point number one is an empty life. Jesus showed us, I could just show verse after verse after verse. He showed us the way to be full is to be empty. Amen. I'll tell that to my gas tank. But he taught us that the first will be last, and the last will be first. And the way to be full is to be empty. Real fulfillment, emphasis on fulfill, fulfillment comes when we empty us of our desires. We empty ourselves of our fleshly desires and make Jesus our heart desire. Amen. His last words before he died were, "It is finished. It is finished." Fulfillment. Everything that needed to be done was done. It is finished. Amen.
That's right.
He poured himself out that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life. He poured it out. He poured his life out that life might be found in you. Amen. He stepped into humanity at its worst and gave us his very best. He gave it all. He emptied himself of all life to fill ours with his. Amen. Listen, if you're not experiencing God's presence in your life, you just may not be empty enough. You got to be empty. And remember what I said at the beginning of the service. I said, write this down. We serve a Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. Amen. We talked about Genesis this morning in our men's meeting. Man, that is an amazing book. But he hung the universe and in an expanse of emptiness. And he took something, he took nothing and made something from it and then hung the something onto nothing. Does that make any sense? He took nothing and made something from it, then hung it on nothing. There was nothing there. That blows my mind too, brother. That's whoo. Amen. Let's look at how he filled some empty things. I can remember Russ when we got off that boat on Sea of Galilee. We went up there to the Church of the Beatitudes, didn't we, Denise? We looked over that, it's like a natural amphitheater where you could put 20,000 people down there. And we heard Papa Jay teach on how he fed the 5,000 men and the wives and the children. Remember, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And they came to Jesus and all these people. And they had three plans to offer. First, some of the disciples said, let's just get rid of the problem. Let's just send them on their way. Jesus said, they're running on empty. So Philip had a plan. Philip got out his calculator. Where'd my phone go? Philip got out his calculator and he started doing, crunching the numbers. He figured it out. It's going to take 200 days wages to feed all these people. But then plan number three was Andrew. Andrew found a little boy with a lunch, a couple fish, some loaves. He said, this is a start. So Jesus took it, and they wrote a song right then. Little is much when God is in it. Amen.
Yes.
Filled thousands, scores of thousands of empty bellies. Listen, you can't reach the world with the gospel until you get their belly full. Amen. We serve a God that specializes in filling emptiness. That was in John chapter 6, that story. How about John chapter 2, where he filled some empty wash pots? We were over in Canaan of Galilee. Russ and Denise got remarried there. Me and Punkin got remarried there. Listen, y'all, we're going to have communion. We got some Welch's grape juice. I'll just tell you, there ain't no grape juice in Canaan. You can't find nothing but the good stuff there in Canaan. Well, Jesus' first miracle, there was a festive mood and the unthinkable happened. The host ran out of wine and the people began to scurry about, whispering about the problem until the whole crowd knew and the host was getting embarrassed. I think the Lord let them scramble for just a little while, but then he brought a solution and he allowed them to feel their emptiness and feel their inadequacy. And then what did he do? He took them water pots and he filled them with water. And then the miracle came. Oh, that's another message. I don't want to get off track this morning. But the joy that the world has to offer is just temporary.
That's right.
It's not long term. It'll always run out. There'll always be a void left over, emptiness. But the word says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And it's new and fresh every morning. The world will offer you its best at first, but then it's downhill from there. You know, in the Bible it says, and I think it's in Hebrews 11, that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. Amen. Proverbs 14, 13 and 14 says, even in laughter, the heart is in pain, and the end of that joy is grief. The backslider in his heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be filled and satisfied. The backslider will be empty. But a good man will be full and satisfied. Proverbs 20, 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. But Jesus gives a miraculous joy that never ends. You know, there's a song, it's sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. Remember that song? I wrote a couple of them down here. That wasn't Elvis. That was the Tallies, I think. It gets sweeter. How about the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Remember that song, Papa Jay? Amen. He gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. He took them wash pots that were used in those days for external washing and made them useful for something internal, something deep and satisfying. Our Lord specializes in filling emptiness. Are you running on empty today? If you're not experiencing intimacy with him on a daily basis, you may feel empty. You may feel empty. But you know what? If you're not with him every day, you may not be empty enough. You know what I'm saying? We've got to empty ourselves of some things. We've got to take some irons out of the fire and make him a priority. So I wrote down three things that we need to empty ourselves of, and they're pretty easy. They begin with S. Number one, we need to empty ourselves of sin. God can't fill a vessel if it's full of sin. Now, are Christians perfect?
No.
We're supposed to be sinless. One word, sinless. So what we need to do is sin less. Two words. Did y'all get that? We're to be sinless. So we need to sin less. Because we're not sinless. We sin every day. The Bible said, we sin every day. Are we perfect? No. But we want to become Christ-like, who was without sin. So number one, we need to be emptied of our sin. Number two, we need to empty ourselves of self. We need to be emptied of self. That's not bowing to the shrine of self. So it's sin, self, and number three is substitutes. Boy, does the enemy have substitutes for the real thing. We often substitute service for surrender. How many times, like Mary and Martha, remember Jesus is at Lazarus' house? Man, Martha's in there. She's been cleaning up. She's been cooking, got the ovens going. I don't know, microwave going. She's cooking up a storm. And she is working. She is doing some service. And then she gets mad because Mary's in there washing Jesus' feet, just sitting at his feet. And she's saying, Jesus, tell Mary to come in here and help me. And he's like, you don't just call her name once. I love it. He calls it twice. He's like, Martha, Martha, leave her alone. She's doing a good thing. You know, we can substitute service for worship. Serving is good, but don't let yourself get so busy doing things for Christ that you neglect spending time with Christ. Now, while we're on service, listen, if there's something you want to do, let me know. You know, I mean, I changed the sign up there yesterday. Don and I was here for quite a while. Thank you, Don. You're such a blessing. Don was just cleaning the place up, and then Marion comes behind with the white glove treatment. Oh, you missed a spot on that door over there, you know. Don, you are awesome. Watchy, he's a mess. There you go. Don is full of service. Thank you, my brother. Hey, Marion said you missed a spot over there. But how many times do we how many times do we really substitute things? The world says fill me. It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Isn't that what they say? But there's more, it's not just that. It can be food, it can be movies, it can be Facebook, it can be sports, it can be Netflix. Well, it could be sports, like tonight at 10 o'clock when the Tar Heels are playing. I'll probably be sitting right there watching it. But it's got to be a balance. He's got to be first. What's the Ten Commandments? What's the first one? Love him with all your heart. Put him first. Amen. Okay, point one was emptying our life, an empty life, because he emptied his life for us. Point two is the empty cross. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I just never do like seeing the crucifix. You know, the necklace with Jesus still on the cross? Because guess what? He's not there. He ain't there. He's risen. Amen? The cross is empty, but yet it's full of God's promises. The empty cross tells us that I can be forgiven. I can be forgiven. You've got to accept it. You can't say, well, he died on a cross, so I'm forgiven. The empty cross means you can be. He made a way. You've got to receive it. Amen. I can be forgiven for all. Say all. All my sin. As far as the east is from the west. He was beaten, broken, and bruised. He took it on himself that we wouldn't have to. So he showed us the way up is down. Wow. Squire Parsons, remember him? From Asheville, he wrote a song. When I couldn't come to him, he came to me. Bill Gaither wrote a song. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to his. He came down into, we sing some songs, but he reached down into the miry clay in the pit and pulled me out. The empty cross tells me I can be free from my past and have a great life through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Through that cross.
That's right.
It's a place where he died, but today it's empty. It's empty of his body, but it's full of his promise. It's not just full of promises, it's full of hope. Amen. The promise of the empty cross is I stand forgiven, because it was on that cross that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. I've asked for Kelly if he would come and sing about that old rugged cross. for what you did on that cross. Does that mean when he came and lived a sinless life, he died on that cross so we could be more like him? You know, I was raised in Free Will Baptist Church, so we always sort of believed that God had a piece of chalk in one hand and an eraser in the other. Well, we realized we've got an advocate with the Father. And he knows that we are going to sin every day
before
we sin. But there's also, and this is a different message, but there's a difference in willful sinning, willfully sinning, and sinning every day. It's not a lifestyle. Amen. The first point was the empty life. The second was the empty cross. The third is the empty tomb. Jesus showed the way up is down. He showed the way to live is to die. Amen. Without the empty tomb, there's no Savior. Nothing's for sure. There's no hope. There's no salvation without the empty tomb. When we went to Jerusalem a couple years ago, it's been 3 years. 3 years. It's 3 years ago this month. Wow, it just seems like yesterday. We had to take, we got a time slot to be in the tomb. Our time slot came at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we got there and there was about 18 of us. And we went in and closed the door. On the door, there's a sign that says, "He is not here. He is risen." We went in and closed the door. And Allie had one of these high-tech boom boxes or something, little thing, or a phone or something. And she had a song on there. And she sang, "Not Guilty." That was one of the most incredible moments of our lives, wasn't it? So I just want you to just close your eyes.
The anointing was amazing.
Just want you to just close your eyes and just imagine you're in the tomb as Allie comes and sings, "Not Guilty."
Before I start, I just wanted to share this with you guys. I love that you're talking about wholeness today because the cross has everything to do with being whole. And I was talking with the Holy Spirit and he said, so many people stop at the door of Jesus and they say, "Oh, that's good enough. I'm saved. I see Jesus." But there's actually an invitation to take the hand of Jesus and walk through that door hand in hand and allow him to come into the throne room to meet your Father. And in that instant, we become sons and daughters and are radically transformed. And man, I feel it so strongly today that someone in this room needs to know that their Father loves them. And wow, Jesus is good. So here we go.
I know you, I love you. begin to comprehend what kind of grace could take the place for all my sin. I stand in awe now that I have been set free, and the tears well up as I look at the cross, 'cause it should have been me.
Christian, well, it doesn't matter if you die. Death is victory. Amen. Listen, church, the world gives us promises that are full of emptiness. But God takes our emptiness and fills it with promises. Let me say that again. The world gives us promises that are full of emptiness. But God will fill our emptiness with His promises. Amen. I'm going to give an altar call. And then after that, we're going to take communion. If you don't know Him, I mean really know Him, today's the day. Or maybe you're just not empty enough. Maybe you're full of some stuff and you just want to be more empty, so God can take it and use it. Like the wash pots at the wedding in Galilee. In Canaan of Galilee, where He took those pots and filled them with water and turned that water to wine. If you want to be transformed like that water was transformed, today's the day. If you want your emptiness to be filled like those 5,000 men and women and children, when they were hungry, and Jesus just took a little boy's lunch and filled them to overflowing, to where there were baskets and baskets left over. If you want that infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life, come on up. I'm going to make it a little easier. Let's everybody stand. Because to come up, you got to stand. And then all you got to do is just take that first step and come up and say, Pastor Paul, Pastor Marion, just say, I just want to be empty. Just want to be empty so God can fill me. Well, that takes a lot of courage sometimes, doesn't it? You just take the first step, He'll help you with the rest. His life for us. Now there's an empty cross and an empty tomb. He wants us to empty of ourselves of sin and self and substitutes. The enemy wants to come against, he wants to crush and kill and destroy our families. But God. Amen. Did everyone get across? Jim Jackson got these for you in Jerusalem. We've still got some. If you didn't, there's still a few left. Did you get one? I put one in your hand. This has been a very special and precious time today as we've gathered together as the people of God to celebrate this incredible and wonderful day that's like no other. I was sitting back thinking, remembering growing up in Easter's and sunrise services and reminded of watching a television show that was had a commentator by the name of Edward R. Murrow. None of you ever heard that name probably, and certainly wouldn't remember. But he was a very famous, internationally known commentator, and he would report on events that happened in history. And they would show the events in pictures, and at the close of it, the camera would come down on Edward R. Murrow and show him from his waist up, and he would be looking intently at the camera, and he said, "And you were there. And you were there." Took you to the place of remembrance. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that what we've celebrated is that 2,000 years ago, you were there. 2,000 years ago, the sound that Jesus heard those spikes going through his hands and feet, the pain, the suffering that we cannot imagine. And I was walking down the Via Dolorosa, Paul was sharing about that all over again and remembering leaving the Antonia fortress where Jesus was taken and he received his lashes and was spat upon by the Roman soldiers, the Roman guard, who were infamous, the best of the best at inflicting torture. And there, Jesus, on the very stones that you can stand today, suffered and gave his life, preparation to give his life for today. And church, you and I were there 2,000 years ago and paid the price. And so today, as we've had an incredible morning of celebrating the fact that he is not there, he is what? He is risen, and Allie's right, he's not only risen, but he's risen indeed. And so as we gather together in this final act of our service today in celebrating this wonderful fact that he is risen and risen indeed, that he promised in his word that I will not leave or forsake you, but I will be with you. And will never, ever leave you. And he gathered his disciples. How many disciples are here this morning? Every hand goes up because we're followers of Jesus.
And we're still pressing into him and to receive the blessing of the joy of knowing him and fellowshipping with him. But he gathered his disciples together on Mount Zion in Jerusalem that overlooks the city of Jerusalem. It was the same place where later on, 50 days later, a great event took place. But there was another gathering. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? They began to hear a sound. It was a mighty rushing wind. And that which Jesus had promised came to pass. Jesus doesn't just say nice things so it sounds good, but his words that are life. He gathered his disciples in that little upper room up on Mount Zion to celebrate what is called the last Passover. Because there was no need after this one for the Passover. Because he said, I am your Passover. He was the Passover lamb, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And in Matthew, we read that when evening had come, he was reclining at the table with his disciples from his place. Does it say his place? Here we are with him this morning, reclining. It's not at somebody's table, but it says it's his table.
That's right.
He is the Passover. And as they were eating, it implies that they were in the process. So church, we're in that process of celebrating who we are in Christ. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he broke it. And after blessing it, he gave his disciples and said, eat, and this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he did also likewise with the cup. And then Paul remembered this and taught on this. And at the church at Corinth in Corinthians of the first chapter, in chapter 11, Paul taught on the Lord's Supper. And it was that Passover that Paul reached over as Jesus did and he explained the bread of heaven. And when Jesus says, this is my body, which is broken for you. It was matzah, no leaven. Leaven causes things to rise in the bread, right, ladies? And the more leaven, what? The greater the rise. Some of you were dealing with leaven here this morning and repenting or asking God to visit you in a precious way to make things right. I don't know about you. I have a feeling that those still seated were doing a little soul searching. I always take inventory, church. And say, Lord, examine me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I may not go up there, but I need to be. At any time that offer is made. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. But Paul said Jesus took the bread, the matzah, and this, beloved, is pierced. All these piercing is a reminder of us of the piercing that Jesus experienced on the cross when they pierced his side. Oh, what a message that is, where blood and water flowed. And then it says, by his stripes were healed, the stripes on the matzah. It's a reminder for us that by his stripes we're healed. And in other words, we're in here somewhere, church. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for us. I've once heard someone to preach a sermon I've never forgotten. It says God can't do anything with something that's not broken.
That's good.
Let me never feel a little broken this morning in the light of his glory, in the light of his grace, in the light of the cross. But Paul said that Jesus, as he was teaching the church at Corinth, And he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he said, and when he had given thanks." Anybody giving thanks this morning for the bread?
Amen.
Well, you have a place here, you know. You're in here. How many of you want your place? Aren't you glad that Jesus took it and he broke it?
Yes.
And Paul said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. And do this in remembrance of me." That Jesus was broken for you and I in every way possible. But yet, the third day came. And we're here to celebrate this morning our place in his body. And we're here to celebrate the resurrection. So, who's passing the bread? And I want each one of you to take a part, because how many of you want your place in the body?
Amen.
See, so when you break that and receive of it, so this is my body, which is broken for you. And he said, take it. Just tell the person you're receiving it from that this is my place in the body. It's all right. You see, church, this didn't catch Jesus by surprise. It's so hard for me to stay focused. A lot of times when my mind rambles back to different things in Jerusalem. I was thinking this morning about that sacrificial lamb of God. And there's a place, they don't do it anymore, but years ago, you could go on Friday afternoon to the sheep market. And there would be 200 or 300 sheep gathered together on the corner of this particular street, which happens to be next to the Temple Mount and just a few blocks away from the Antonia Fortress, where they divide the sheep and different ones would be there to choose. And they were always looking for that perfect lamb. I couldn't go there without just reflecting back on the choice. God took the best, that unblemished lamb. So, Father, this morning we give you thanks for the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that that which you have received from you this morning is who I am in you. I thank you for my place in the body of Christ. Come on, church. Have you given thanks this morning? Have you told him of your gratitude, of your place in his body, that 2,000 years ago in the upper room, that Jesus divided himself to his disciples? And here we are this morning receiving of you, Father. You are our bread of life. And it's in you that we move and have our being. We thank you for our place and our calling and all that we're about. And so this morning, as we receive of you, we offer that back to you and say, Lord, here am I. Help me, Father, to be all I can be in you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name for the body of Christ. Receive of him, church. And it was in the same way, the scripture says, that that Jesus then took the cup, which is, happens to be the third cup that he received. At the Passover, there are three cups. And the last cup they received during the Seder, the celebration, is the cup of redemption. And it was that third cup that Jesus reached over and he shared with his disciples when he said, it was in the same way, Paul says, that he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup, and it is a cup of a new covenant in my blood, and do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me, to be reminded of me. Church, that's huge, to be reminded and remember all that Jesus has done for us. Life is in the blood. And he said, this is my blood, receive it, the life of Christ. You know, we can share the bread and pass the bread and share it with one another. But the cup is that personal, intimate part that you can't share. It's just for you. And when we receive this, we put it over the doorposts and lintel, as the blood was put over the house of Israel when they were in bondage. And the death angel passed over. He is our Passover this morning. And it's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And he imparts life. No, not life, abundant life. So just lift your cup before him. And in your way, just give thanks to the Lord this morning. We bless you, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago, that you gave your life, you shed your blood, and that by your stripes we're healed, and all that we need in you is in the cup. It is the cup of salvation, and we receive that of you this morning, from you afresh and anew, that you're the same today as you were yesterday. Thank you, Father, as we receive now your blood and give you thanks for your life that flows in us. In Jesus' name, receive his cup this morning. Now may this little cross be a reminder for you of God's love. And remember this moment, because you've just celebrated a scripture that is precious to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and any man or woman that's in Christ is what, Pastor?
New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Amen. Hallelujah. All hearts and minds clear. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful resurrection morning. Y'all have a wonderful week. We're here for you no matter what. If you need us, call us 24/7. All right, let's stand. Be dismissed. Father, just thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for these families here. Just bless them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over this week. Help them to remember to be empty, to empty of ourselves and our sin and our substitutes, that you can come and fill us. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Amen.